short message. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for your love for missions. And thank you for the good singing. Amen. You know, this snow is partially my fault. There's a verse in Job, you know. Go to Ezra chapter 5 for right now. But there's a verse in Job chapter 38 or somewhere in there where it says, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" And I can remember years ago I was having to chain up. I drove truck for 20 plus years, delivering animal feed for Purina Land O'Lakes. And I remember I was chaining up and, you know, getting ice dripping on me and stuff. And I was thinking, "Lord, I'm getting so sick of this snow." And then it's like that verse came to mind. "Oh, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" I get it. Because the snow is a blessing. You know, back out in the West, you know, and out here, you know how significant that is. In the West, it's a snowpack in the mountains, you know, that provides irrigation, you know, to grow things. It used to be called the poor man's fertilizer because there's so many nitrates and stuff that's in the snow per inch. When I went to the Philippines and I was praying, "Lord, I don't want to go back. I don't want to come back in the winter." And I got back in March and I thought I missed it. March 2015, my first meeting was in Lewiston, Idaho with Nate Gipp, and it snowed that night. Well, not enough to really, you know, it was just a spring snow, you know, just enough to say, "Yeah, here it is." And then the next, in April, we're going to Missoula, and it snows on the passes as we're going over to Missoula. And just, okay, yes, that's the way it goes. You know, then I call your pastor, and I'm going to be in Bismarck in September. I was in Bismarck in September, and I'm thinking, now that's a good time to go to Minnesota. And your pastor, he said, "Well, that ain't going to work for us." And then he, you know, February. I was in Lancaster in January. California? Not at the West Coast. I was at a small church out there. And it snowed on the grapevine and had to shut down. We had snow flurries in Southern California when I was there. So I'm not surprised it snowed. And here I go, you know, Minnesota in February, then onward to Montana and Bismarck again, and praise God. The treasures of the snow. You know, while everyone else is heading south, I get to come up here. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful. You know, Lord, it's neat how God works things out. You know, I got a Suburban, and it's been running good, except for when the tranny went out. That was in Kingman, Arizona, about a few weeks ago. Yeah. Anyway, but I was in Helena in December. Had a meeting there, and I was preaching about, you know, how not to be faint in the ministry, wrong ministry. And I said, "One of the things you want to avoid is complaining, because when you complain, you become faint." And I said, "You know, here you got the Jews, the Israelites, and they're in the wilderness 40 years, and their shoes don't even wear out, and yet they complain." And I said, I'm praying that for my tires, because I don't want to buy any tires. I want to be able to get some deputation and not have to buy any tires. And we get done with the meeting, and I'm putting everything up, and I go out to the car, and there's a man from the church, and he's standing by my car, and I walk over there, and he goes, "Brother, you need tires." He worked in tires, and they bought us some tires. Every time I've been gone through the snow. And we left Oregon. I don't even know if I'm going to get to my message. We left Oregon in January. It's raining there, and of course, you'd think I'd know these things, having driving a truck, that you ought to look ahead. Now I'm going over to the Cascades. I had 80 miles of compact snow and ice before I got to Klamath Fall, Oregon. But I had good tires, and praise God. You know. In Ezra chapter 5, there's a verse there, and I won't keep you long. I like this verse here. And you know, you go into Ezra chapter 5, verse 6, 7, and 8. The copy of the letter. What you have here is, you know, they're building the temple. And the work's going along here. And there's the people around there looking and they're saying, "We don't like this temple being built again." So they send a letter. And the copy of the letter that Tatnai, governor on this side, the river, and Sherdoth Bosnai and his companions, the Aparshites, which were on this side, the river, sent unto Darius the king. They sent a letter unto him wherein was written thus unto Darius the king, "All peace, be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea to the house of the great God, which is builded, and great stones and timbers laid in the walls. And this work goeth fast on and prospereth in their hands." I like that. You know, here you got the work of God going on back then, and it's the heathen, the lost people, those that are against the true God, that notice that the work is going fast on. And, you know, I like to look at this verse and apply it to us today. You know, you get back there in Ezra chapter 1, and you go, you find out that this work started, that they're complaining about, by a decree from a king who got stirred up by God, Cyrus. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord might be, by the mouth of Jeremiah, might be fulfilled, stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, to go build this temple. Say, hey, you Jews, go build this temple of God. You know, I start looking at that, and you know, wow, to what they got to do, how they got to do it, and go back into the land after being held captive. God did what he said he would do. He said, if you don't keep my commandments, my statutes, then I'm going to curse you, I'm going to uproot you out of the land, but then I'll bring you back. And he did it. But he stirred up a Gentile king to get it going. A proclamation from a king. How much more so should it be for us as Christians when we have a proclamation from our king, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I mean, if this king can send out a proclamation and something can get done, you ought to be getting moved by Jesus Christ and get involved in the work that's going fast on all over the world, that's going on here, and get excited about it. Now, you find out there in Ezra chapter 1, that in verse 4, whosoever remaineth in any place wherein he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him. And they start giving silver and gold to go back. They were excited about building this temple. This temple of God. How much more so should we get excited? We're not building a temple of God. I like a church building, especially now. I like not being in the snow right now. I like the church building we have in the Philippines when it's raining and it's blowing. And I may be sweating because of humidity, but it's nice to get out of the rain. But you know, you don't need that to meet up with God, do you? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Man, are you involved in this work going fast on? I just want to encourage you. I can see that you already are. But it's a great thing to be involved in the work of God. And I like that. I just like that phrase, this work going fast on. Sometimes I think we don't see it. You know, we get caught up with our temporal eyes and we get caught up in the things of this world and the if you go on deputation, I'm sure Brother Stewart, I'm sure others can tell you how sometimes it just seems like it's just dragging on, man. Yeah. But it's still going fast on. Man, I'm in touch with Brother Sutek, and I talk with him what's going on there and the different ministries that are involved and that we already had going with the public schools, the prison, the police station, the hospital. I mean, that's a marvelous thing. The hospital is a great ministry that we've been able to get involved in. We have one floor of this one hospital that's free. There's like 8 to 10 rooms, and there's about 8 to 10 beds in each room. We get to go in there, and we sing a song, we have prayer, and we have a young lady from our institute give a testimony of her salvation. Then we leave a young man to preach a message, and we get to go to every room and do that. We've had a few people get saved. Man, that thing's still going fast on. And I want to get back there and get involved, get back in it. One of the things that happened, though, at that hospital one day when I took the students there and we got done, I was going back to the car, and this doctor walked up to me, an orthopedic surgeon, and he said, I want to thank you for what you're doing here at this hospital. It is a needful thing. It is a good thing that you're doing. And he had really good English, and I was like, man, you speak really good English. Where'd you go to school? It just so happened he went to the University of Washington for his graduate work. It just so happened he knew where Walla Walla was. He'd been there. And we got to talking, and I just assumed he was a Catholic. I said, well, are you a Catholic? And he goes, no, I'm a Muslim. But I'm reconsidering my position. His name is JB. That's the name he gave me. I said, I haven't seen him since. But I know that work is still going fast on. I know it's having an impact in that hospital. And it's just neat when you look at this in Ezra, how that work's going fast on, and the people that are contrary to the things of God, they will try to disrupt it. But God provides for it. There's a proclamation. There's God's provision. And then there's God's protection. And you see it in the book of Ezra, where he protects you when you get involved in this thing of the work of God. It's a marvelous thing. You know, I like to think sometimes you look back there in Exodus when they got out of Egypt and they went to go build that tabernacle. and they brought forth the silver and the gold, and it's a willing offering. They wanted to be involved in that. They wanted to be involved in that, building up that tabernacle where they were going to be. That tabernacle was in the Bible is also called a tabernacle of witness, that they'd be a witness to the Gentiles around them. But they brought willingly, and then they got stirred up. You know, I can't help but think that somebody probably, and I wouldn't fault them. I mean, could you imagine? Your family was in bondage for 400 years in Egypt. And then it says in the book of Exodus that they spoiled the Egyptians. I mean, all the stuff that went in that temple came from Egypt. Yeah. What a thing. That's a great thing, how our God can take something, the pollution, the things of this world, and the gold and all that stuff, and he can make something out of it. And how he does that with individuals. But I wouldn't have faulted anybody if they would have said, you know what? Reparations are in order here. I saw my grandmother die underneath the taskmaster's whip. You know, somebody could have easily said, you know what? I got this gold from Egypt. My family was in bondage for 400 years. I'm keeping it. But you didn't. They didn't do that, did they? If you look there in the book of Exodus, you can find it yourself because I don't have much time. It's in Exodus chapter 35. You find out they had a willing heart. And then they get stirred up in it. And they get a heart of wisdom. And in this, involved in this thing of the gospel and this work that's going fast on, you just got to realize that you have God's provision. He uses God's people. And then you have God's protection. And you find out in Ezra chapter 8 verse 18 that the good hand of our God was upon us, and they brought us a man of understanding. In Ezra chapter 8 verse 22, he didn't want to ask help from the king, because he told the king, you know, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. They trusted in God's protection. You know, they tried to stop that work, and I'm going to leave you with this. You have God's proclamation, you have God's provision, you have God's protection. And he provides. In Ezra chapter 8, it was about a month before we came back from our survey trip. I was trying to arrange meetings and I was, you know, planning and thinking, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get back. I don't know how this is going to happen. I had some good meetings, but there were a lot of gaps in the imagination, just like maybe some of you do. Maybe something just doesn't go quite right and you just start, your imagination will go. And, you know, it never turns out like your imagination says it will, right? But we let it, if we're not careful, we don't put that in check, man. It'll go. I was sitting there fretting and stewing and thinking, Lord, this ain't going to work. This ain't going to work. I don't know how this is going to work. And I was reading in Ezra, and I started reading in Ezra, and I had these thoughts going in my mind. I got to the end of Ezra chapter 8 and verse 36. It says there where, you know, after they tried to stop the work of God, after they saw that the work was going fast on, and then the king went and checked what was written beforehand. He made sure that everything that was needed to complete the work of God was going to get done. In Ezra chapter 8, verse 36, it says there, and they delivered the king's commissions unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side the river, and they furthered the people and the house of God by the king's commissions. Don't you know that we call it the Great Commission? And our king is going to he's going to get those commissions to us. I got done reading that, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to fret about it. This is your work. This is your business. I'm just going to do what I know to be right. I got done reading that. I repented and got right with God. And I checked my email. And I got a message from a pastor in Montana who I asked a meeting. I said, hey, can I get a meeting with you? I'm going to be coming back. And he sent me a message and said, you don't have to come by. We'll go ahead and support you for so much a month. Go get some other meetings. That was God. That's the king's commissions being provided to further the work of God in getting the gospel out. And all we got to do is be in tune and receptive to the Holy Spirit. The work's going fast on. And all we got to do is be receptive to the Holy Spirit. One more little story about Jared Baker, a missionary to the Philippines in the 1950s. He was going on deputation. Interesting story. He wanted to go fight in World War II, but he was 4F. He couldn't fight. His dad was a farmer. in Kansas. And so his dad said, well, we'll do what we can here. We'll grow food. And that's what he did. And then he went to the University of Kansas and studied agriculture. And then he felt the Lord dealing with him about being a missionary. He went to Bob Jones University. And he was on deputation to go to the Philippines in the 1950s. And they put out a prayer request that they were needing a vehicle that they were going to buy in the United States and then ship it to the Philippines. And they got so much money from this one family. They sent some money, and the bakers were just excited. They said, wow, this is neat. This is half of what we need for our vehicle. And they called that family and just thanked them, saying, thank you. You've encouraged us so much. And we're halfway to what we need to purchase the vehicle we're looking at. Thank you for being receptive to the Holy Spirit and being involved in the work of God. And they hung up. And about a week later, they got a letter from that same family. And they said, forgive us for not being obedient to God. He told us so much, and we cut it in half. Here's the rest of it. Yeah, that's just being receptive to the Holy Spirit. Being involved in this work that's going fast on. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll turn it over to your pastor. Thank you again for your time. Father, I thank you.